right. I'm going to give you a heads up coming soon type of thing. I'm going to begin a discussion of the law of God, the laws of God, and the covenants of God. There is the law that existed at creation, went through the Abraham covenant, went through the Mosaic covenant into the new covenant, which was begun by Jesus the Christ, and then goes into eternity. There is a law that does that. It's called the royal law, James 2:8. It's called holy, just, and pure, Romans 7:12. It's called a spiritual law, Romans 7:14. So that's the foundational law. And there were laws that were added, requirements that were added to the covenants because of disobedience. And those laws became a tutor for us. We read about this in Galatians 3 and Numbers 15. So that's a heads up. This is where my studies are going. We're going to cover the Adam experience, Abraham experience, Moses experience, and into Jesus Christ, the new covenant. And that'll be coming. Now that said, I want to start with, and I've never done this. It's unique for me. We're going to go to the two trees. I laugh because in my 50 years at church, I heard about the two trees a lot. But it's so foundational, talking about the two trees. And the question that we'll answer today is, which tree are we under? Which tree are we under? Just recently, I came from a coworker that I worked with for 20 years died. She was 26. She was 56. Never knew her to be sick. She told her husband she was having a headache, felt dizzy, took her into the ER. And whether it was an aneurysm or whether it was a blood clot, we don't know. She died, age 56. She touched many people, and she brought the best out in other people. She was a delight to be around. She was one of those positive people that, you know, magnets, you got positive and negative. You just wanted to be there because you knew something positive was going to be said. And you were going to feel good about being around this person. This person was good. This person was good. We know a lot of people who have high moral standards. They don't steal. They're honest. They work hard. They're good neighbors. They're good citizens. And they're good. They're good. There are many people devoting themselves to serving and helping others. Starving children around the world. And there are millions of children who are starving around the world. And there are organizations that reach out, that have relief efforts in those nations. There are homes for runaway children. People dedicate their lives to helping others. They're good, good people. That was a phrase I ran into. My Uncle Wilbur and my Aunt Juliet hadn't seen them for many, many years, and we visited them once. And in conversation, in the middle of the conversation, I forget what we were talking about. I just remember Uncle Wilbur looked at me, and my wife says, "You're good people." It's, I guess, a Southern thing. You're good people. There are good people out there. People like Mother Teresa, who served the poor for most of her life. There's organizations that do a lot of good. Red Cross and a variety of organizations that do good. Relief organizations that help feed the needy in third world countries, in second world countries, in the first world countries. I mean, we have our own needs here in the U.S. You think for all our wealth and power and majesty as a nation, we would have conquered this within our own borders, but we haven't. There are just good people. Where does this good come from? Where does this good come from? Well, we get down to the two trees. We get down to the two trees. Let's go to Genesis 2. Genesis 2. Page 2 in my Bible. If you discount all the preambles there. Genesis 2. Life in God's garden. And the Lord planted, verse 8, a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So that you've got this idyllic, beautiful garden. And in my mind, I see variations of green, flowers in brilliant colors, grass that you didn't have to mow. Would love some of that. And in the middle of that, you had two different trees. The tree of life, which is mentioned in Revelation, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We don't see these trees today. They're not literal today. We see the effects. We see the fruit of these trees. We see the spiritual fruit. Not the physical fruit. We don't see the fruit itself. No, probably not an apple. Don't know what kind of fruit was there. But we know that it was pleasant, desirous. I had the opportunity of pulling apples off of a tree, and I was picky. I'm basically picky about food anyway. But I don't want that apple. That's a perfect apple. I mean, I was just drawn to this apple, and I had to have that apple. Dark, rich red. Almost looked like someone sprayed it with some water so it looked vibrant and fresh. But the two trees today don't have fruit. We don't see those two trees. And we experience the fruit of these two trees when we look at the background and to understand these two trees. There was instruction that was given, Genesis 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. Hey, you're going to be a farmer. You're going to be a gentleman farmer. Take care of this. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, just as a side, as part of the Bible study one time I did, God says a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day, because time to him is different the way we perceive time. How long did Adam live? 900 plus years. He was within a day as God would have perceived a day. In the day you eat of it, you shall die. There's another phrase that is in my study. It says, dying you shall die. That this is going, unless you change, you will die forever. Unless you change, unless you repent, you will die forever. And then the dynamic in the garden was changed. Verse 18, he created a helper comparable for him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast and then created his mate. Interesting that the two had pure knowledge of who God was. He walked with them. He talked with them. He wasn't a mystery to them. And he was very clear in his instructions. And then, don't know, he stepped away. And we go to chapter 3. Chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, right there I'm going, really, a snake chatting with someone. That's got to be fabulously interesting. Because up until that time, her only companion for conversation was Adam. She's not talking to all the animals. She's not talking to the insects. She only had Adam to talk with and God, who stepped away. And here we have deceit and influence. Serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? You could eat of everything. Well, he was leaving something out. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it. And then she added, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. She was embellishing. Then the serpent said to the woman, hey, woman, you shall not surely die. And he added some deceptive truth. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. True. Left out a few things. Like the consequence. Now, under that kind of influence and that kind of pressure, here you got a being that's saying, you're going to be like God. You're going to know good and evil. You're not going to die. The one who created you is lying to you. I've got the truth. I've got some secret information that's going to make you feel good. And that snaky thing is right there. Go ahead, take it. Take the fruit. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Physically close by and listening to this whole conversation was Adam. He wasn't absent. He was right there. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. They disobeyed. They were commanded not to eat of the tree. It wasn't a suggestion. It was truth to them, and they chose to eat. People can choose right, wrong, good, and evil because of this event that took place. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves. They were in trouble. They knew it. The Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So Adam, of course, he couldn't hide. You can't hide from God. I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. There was embarrassment there that wasn't there before. Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded that you should not eat? The man said he took full responsibility. He rose to the level of righteousness and blamed the woman. The woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. I didn't mean to. And God played along. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, she took full responsibility for her actions. Hey, listen, I've never seen a talking snake. And he said these wonderful things. I got secret information coming to me. So he forced me. A little snake made me do it. And God played along. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle. And we can go into the differences here in what takes place. Talks about cause and effect, action and consequence. Talks about the difficulties in conception, children, and the desire of your husband will be over you, will rule over you. Of course, without God's Spirit, that's a curse. Really, that's a terrible thing. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, your physical life is going to be hard. You're going to till the ground and it's going to be hard. You're going to scratch the earth and have very little for your efforts. What we have now is we have the knowledge in society, the ability to understand the knowledge. We have the knowledge of good and evil. Otherwise, we would not have society today. That's where good people come from. People understand what is good. People understand what is right. What they don't understand is righteousness. Too many people equate righteousness with being good. There's a difference. There is a difference. In a sense, there were three choices now that Adam and Eve brought into humanity. The choice to be good, the choice to be evil, and the choice to the tree of life, which is righteousness. I was reading recently, two weeks ago, of a couple who decided that they would travel the world believing that there is no evil in this world. They were bicycling through the Middle East. They were captured, I think, by the Taliban, or I think so, or ISIS. And they found out what true evil was. And they were killed along with some British teachers. There is evil in this world. There are those who embrace evil. There are those who embrace good. But it is not righteousness. It's not righteousness. There is a way that leads to life. That is the tree of life. They were kicked out of the garden. No longer could they have access to that tree because at that point it wasn't going to be available to them. And we would have to wait in general to the new covenant, which is Jesus Christ, for that to take place. The way of good and evil leads to death. People can do good, but they still die. It still leads to death. Genesis 2:17 is referring to eternal death. Dying, you shall die. In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. From the beginning, God has set two different ways before man. Over the years, I've heard the way of give and the way of get. Basically, I think it's the way of good and evil and the way of life. Revelation 22 talks about having the right to... let me go there. You don't go there. I'll go there. I'll read it to you. Revelation 22. That there is a right to the tree. That it's not just willy-nilly. It's not just thrown at us. Where did I read it this morning? My eyes won't fall on it. Oh, yeah. 15. No, 14. 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. What's very interesting about that phrase is enter through the gates of the city. In Matthew 7... Yeah, let's go to Matthew 7 for the fun of it. It talks about two general ways of living. Matthew 7. When I first started this journey, I realized that this is a very big truism for me. Because I had a deep desire to be accepted by all my classmates and by all my teachers, and that I was starting to live a way that was different than what they were accepting. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. That's an easy way. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Right now there are very few who find it. very few. What's interesting is that God did not shield mankind from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was available. It was a choice. He could have put a fence around it, picket fence. He could have put unicorns around it, guarding it. He could have put flamethrowers. He could have put hornets. You step one step too close and a hornet's going to chase you. He did not shield mankind from the wrong way. Why even put the tree of good and evil in the garden in the first place? Man has to choose. Man has to choose. I pointed out recently that God had in the kingdom a perfect being. And over time, we don't know how long, that perfect being used pride to elevate his own thinking to the point where he thought he could take God on. And used his sway, because this being is perfect, used his sway to confuse a third of the angels to follow. He had perfection in his kingdom. Now he wants commitment. He wants us to choose and to live a life of choice for eternity. From the very beginning, man was going to have to make a choice. They had to accept that God was right, that a talking snake, however influential and ever cool talking to a snake would be, that it was wrong. God was right. And we have to look today to this book as the foundation for us today. And increasingly, we are at a division with the world around us. The Supreme Court continues its debate over the rights of individuals to purchase products against the rights of the individuals who make those products whose sensibilities are offended by the request. I'm an artist and I make cakes. I'd like you to make a cake for me and my partner Steve. And you say no, well, we got to go to court. Because the court has got a difficulty there. The law says you don't discriminate, but the law says there's no religious discrimination either. And the fight is just getting worse. The fight is getting worse. The division is growing today. And then you have so many other religions and religious writers. You wonder, where are we? Where are we? Isaiah 3, I'll tell you where we are. Isaiah 3. I think about what's taking place in Washington. I have a perception of where we are. It's very clear what the Bible says. We are ambassadors for another kingdom. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are of another nation belonging to the kingdom of God. We are not part of society. We are like Paul. Only when are we affected in the same way that Paul was do we call and say we are of this nation. Verse 10, Isaiah 3. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, and it shall be ill for them, with them, for the reward of his hands shall be given to them. There's cause and effect. Action, consequence. You'll eat the fruit of your labors. As for my people, children are their oppressors. Look at our schools. Look at the youth in our Congress right now. Women shall rule over them. Oh, my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. We have the weak, immature, unprepared leading us as a nation, and we're being influenced away from what is good, not righteous, but what is good. Now, some look at the tree of life as being limiting. The tree of life limits us. They feel that it limits them what they can do with their time, you know, the Sabbath. the holy days with their money, tithes and offerings. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil seems kind of fun, glorious, exciting, variety of things to get involved in. I can do whatever I want. I get to decide for myself. I use my own judgment of what's right and wrong. That satisfies the ego within me. That satisfies the ego within me. Satan took a spiritual truth and applied a physical answer. God said, "No, if you won't surely die if you take of this fruit." I'm back to Genesis 3. You won't surely die. Satan was talking about physical. He was looking at a spiritual truth and giving a physical answer. But what God was doing, God was talking about spiritual truth. God was talking about spiritual truth. Satan said, "You will be alive tomorrow. You will be alive physically." True. They were. But unrepented sin, they will die for eternity. Man has always tried to solve spiritual problems with physical solutions. One of the examples that was brought up in growing up in the South in Florida, I can't tell you how many pickup trucks had a shotgun or a rifle on the back window, and nobody was shooting anybody. And the question was brought up, when did that change? Because it's not about the availability of weapons. It's about the change of morality. People try and change physical things to solve spiritual problems, and it doesn't work. Physical solutions don't solve a lack of love that people should have one for another. Nations and individuals are motivated by vanity, pride, lust, selfishness, the getting, and they violate the laws of God and tell us to treat how we treat one another. Man uses his own reasonings and doesn't comprehend that his reasoning is influenced by the spirit of this world. We covered that. 1 Corinthians 2. The spirit of this world, God's spirit, and man's spirit. The spirit of this world, Revelation 12, 1 John 5, the deceiver who holds sway over the entire world. Yes, we were introduced to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and now we have a deceiver who tries to hold sway over us. Genesis 3, 5 says, "You will be like God." Man, how do you back away from such a thought? There is our Creator. Everything I know came from Him. Everything around me was created by this incredible being, and I will be like Him if I take this little fruit. Makes the choice easier, doesn't it? God set the pattern for them, if you think about it, in Genesis 1:26, that after kind after kind. I always enjoyed the conversation when someone says, "Well, you know, giants were made when angels married women." Well, let's take a look at that. Kind after kind. Kind after kind. We will be like God. We will look like God. And He wants us to develop spiritual image in us. And in the resurrection, we will be like God in composition. And you will have your eyes opened. I don't know of a time, I can't think back that far, and no, all joke aside, not that I'm that old, I don't remember when I did not understand the plan of God and what it would be like not to know tomorrow, not to understand what takes place tomorrow. But it's God who opens the mind. He opens our eyes. He opens our eyes to spiritual knowledge. Their eyes were open to the wrong knowledge. Their eyes were opened up to the knowledge of what was good and evil, right and wrong, not righteousness. We know that in 1 Corinthians 2, without God's Spirit, we don't understand spiritual things. And Satan says, your eyes will be opened, you'll be like God. But their eyes were open to knowing what is good and evil. sometimes we don't know the difference between what is good and what is evil. God does, and sometimes we don't. And in all this, the serpent didn't mention the end result, that they would die. He told them that they wouldn't die. And in the sense that the next day they would be alive, that's true, they didn't die. But their choice, having rejected God's truth, rejecting his instruction, they will die without repentance. They will die without repentance. Satan didn't tell them the whole story. They didn't tell them the whole story. It's good at holding information back. You ever tell someone part of the story? I told them the truth. Just not all of it, and just not what they needed to hear. That demented being didn't tell the whole story. He is a liar, he is a deceiver, and he holds sway over our emotions. Now, you will be like God. Well, let's go to 1 John 3. What is the truth to that? You will be like God. 1 John 3. 1 John 3. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. There is a difference between God's righteousness and what is good in society. And when we follow God and his righteousness, they're not going to recognize us as being good because they don't recognize God as being good. Beloved, verse 2, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will become similar to God. And right now we put on inside our minds the mind of Christ, the mind of God in us, using God's Holy Spirit. So the truth is we will be like God, but not by defiance, not through disobedience. There are two ways to be like God. Satan said you will be like God to know good and evil. And that's true. But God knows the difference between good and evil. Man would experience good and evil and all of the heartaches, the curses, the pain, and the suffering associated with it. Man would not necessarily be able to tell right from wrong, good from evil. And another way to be like God today is to take his prerogative, to become a lawgiver, to choose which laws to keep, which laws to follow. We must become like God in character, in obedience and attitude. There's a big difference. In Genesis 3, we've been there, read it already. Adam made a choice. His wife was there. He listened to the conversation. And then he made his choice. She made the choice for herself. Adam said, I ate. I made the choice. And then tried to avoid the responsibilities for his actions by blaming his wife. We are all responsible for who we are. All responsible for ourselves. How often do we try and justify ourselves before God? My early prayers were, the devil made me do it. And, well, God would come back and say, you made the choice. And here's the consequence, by the way. And you learned that God knows and knows your mind so to the nth degree. To the nth degree. Adam tried to blame and Eve tried to justify. That's what we do as human beings. In Genesis 3:22, it says that man has now become as one of us. Man has now become as one of... Verse 22. Then the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. And he drove the man and placed the cherubim at the east of the garden of Eden with flaming sword, which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Now there was something, a barrier between him and the tree of life, between him and the Holy Spirit. His choice was made for him. But man has become as one of us. Man can now become a lawgiver. Man decides what laws to keep. Man now judges what is good and evil. We have laws. All nations have laws as to what is good and evil. Some nations are more progressive than others. Some are more barbaric. But they all choose their own laws of what is good and evil. I find it reprehensible of honor killing. You've offended the family. You must die. And yet that's the law in other nations. Man has now become one of us. This whole idea of the two trees is huge. Proverbs 16. Because the choices now are being made and they're going to lead us somewhere. Proverbs 16, verse 25. This became a memory scripture for me when I was first in the church. Back then, I was horribly self-willed. I'm completely over that now and have none of that within me. Sue's going to fall out of her chair. There is a way that seems right to a man. There is a way that man looks at what is good and evil and sees what he thinks is good. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. There's no getting around it. Without God's knowledge of righteousness, all we know is death. There is a way that just seems right. Proverbs 21, verse 2. I've never been this way either. Just saying. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But the Lord weighs the hearts. I've argued with the GPS because I knew I was right. And I've been lost more times than not any time I argue with the GPS. But in my mind, I know it's that way. And I have to learn to trust the stupid thing because it's just information. It's not out to get me lost. I have to learn to trust the GPS. But I feel in my heart, truly, I suffer directional dyslexia. My mind says a certain thing and I will argue the direction only to find out it's 180 degrees off. I struggle with that. So there's a way that seems right to us and there's a way that I'm right in my own eyes. But God ponders the heart. And the result of Adam and Eve taking this fruit, they were cut off from the tree of life. They had access to all the trees at that time. They took of the wrong tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then they were cut off from the tree of life. And now we have choices to be made today of the philosophies around us. Many forms of government, economic systems, religion, philosophy, and people embrace those and looking for a certain goodness within them. But they're looking for righteousness that's not there. Because they're looking for the righteousness of God. People have the choice of being good and they do good things, but they're still under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They're not under the tree of life. These are man's choices. This is what man judges to be good, not what God says to be righteous. You know, sometimes our choice agrees with God. And I've said for years that when man follows God, whether they understand it or not, there is a blessing. There is a blessing for following God's way, regardless of whether they know that it's from God or not. It's nice to know that, God is right on these. This works. And there is a blessing for it. I've known for years, had people very interested in the church. You got some good people there. They got great attitudes. I like the product. And I had this conversation with someone. I like the product. I like what you do. I like the way you communicate. I like the way you teach kids. I like the way your families are. Don't like the way you got there. I don't like the path. I don't like the process. They didn't see it was the process that got us there. They just saw the result. And then they try and live a good life without God's righteousness, and it doesn't get them far. It doesn't get them far. Now, there are similar actions under both trees. We don't murder. I like that. I don't want anybody to come into my house and murder my family. Man says, we're going to make murder a capital crime, and here's capital punishment for that. And yet nations will fight wars and kill others out of self-defense or aggression, thinking that their way is right. Again, because it's the knowledge of good and evil, not of God's righteousness. Not of God's righteousness. Society has a code of law that's based on the knowledge of the knowledge of good and evil, but not what's righteous. Not what's righteous. Man has a human spirit, but we don't have spiritual understanding. That comes from God. That comes from God. Man is good only on a physical human level. And you can find good people in a variety of backgrounds, whether they're Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, Catholics, Philadelphians, Presbyterians. You can find good people everywhere, but not righteous people. Not righteous people. There's a fearful thing for the assignment that I have. Matthew 7. I'll add this. The last 2 weeks, we had three ordinations in the Bay Area. We added three elders to the mix of servants there, along with two deaconesses and a deacon. So part of the thing that kept me in the Bay Area, we had two ordinations in Orinda. Matthew 7 comes to mind for this assignment. And you can put your name here too. You really could. Verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?'" Talking about the individuals, the elders, those who, through the assignment that they were given in preaching, inspired preaching and teaching and casting out demons, did these in the name of God, and they were done. And he will say, "And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" I take that one to heart. One of the comments that was made to one of the elders is, now your standard is much higher. No, the standard is the same for everyone in this room. The blessing and the penalty for doing it right or wrong is more severe or increased and or severe. But the standard hasn't changed, whether you're an elder, a deacon, a member of the body of Christ. If we're all members of the body of Christ, the standard is the same. Hasn't changed. Hasn't changed. People can think that they're righteous. They can even do things in God's name, and he will say, I never knew you. Verse 9. Verse 9, backing up just a bit. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, gives him a stone? So, you're hungry. Do you want granite? Do you want pumice? Do you want sand? What do you want? I'll give you a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, he gives him a serpent. If you then, being evil, under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, basically, there is no righteousness. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We, being evil, do good. Being good doesn't lead to eternal life. John 5, verse 39. You know, talking about our Bible study or some of the good rules for Bible study. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. They had the right Scriptures, but they weren't going to God. They were still under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They weren't looking for the tree of life. And as I pointed out in Revelation 22, that you have to be given the right to the tree of life. You have to be given the right to the tree of life. We need to recognize the difference in sitting under the tree of life and sitting under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let's go back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Where does righteousness come from? Psalm 119, 172. Verse 169, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. He's talking about the royal law. All your commandments are righteousness. God doesn't change. His standard is the same. The tree of life shows that God is the lawgiver. Under the tree of life, God tells us what is right and wrong. He tells us what is unity and harmony and peace. And he tells us what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5. And he tells us what is eternal life. Under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, well, you could be 50-50. 50% good, 50% bad. I'd hate to see someone who is 1% bad and 1% good and 99% bad. But they're out there. They're out there. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the standards constantly change. The standards constantly change. But under the tree of life, God's standards don't change. They are set. And they are righteousness. They are righteousness. What should we do? We who are now facing the two trees, because we face these two trees on a daily basis. Matthew 6, very familiar scripture. Matthew 6, verse 33. And he's talking about not worrying. He's talking about trusting in God in all things. He's talking about the plan of salvation. He's talking about we have trouble for this time, but in eternity, it's going to be all the pain and the hurt is going to be gone. And here he says, for all the things, for after all these things, what are you going to eat, what are you going to wear, what are we going to drink, for all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God already knows. We go before God with our want list. We tell him our needs. We tell him our desires. We tell him the troubles that we're in. And he already knows, but he wants us to go before him. And he says, for all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not the knowledge of good and evil, but God's righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We got enough problems. Start with and continue to seek God's kingdom. Seek God's righteousness first. As we go toward the Passover, a very time of deep meditation of where we are and who we are, you go to Acts 2 and it talks about what do we do? Peter, after 50 days, having been given God's Spirit, having already denied Jesus Christ 3 times, gives an incredible, passionate sermon to the world around him. And they say, well, what are we going to do? And he says, repent, be baptized, and receive God's gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to repent of what we know in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then still be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, and commit ourselves to go God's way. We are made right with God when our sins are removed and we are justified. When we receive the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ dwells within us. The Holy Spirit makes us holy. We are righteous when we have God's Spirit in us and we follow His way and we are repentant before God. And then living God's way, we see the evidence of it. In Galatians 5, we have the fruit of His Spirit. Man is cut off from God, and without the Holy Spirit, cannot be righteous in God's sight. We can have our own righteousness, and we can think our righteousness is goodness, and our goodness is our self-goodness, and it's not righteousness. It's not right before God. And this explains why religious people can be good. Can explain my Uncle Wilbur said, you're good people. It can explain my friend Terry, who was a very great person at work. And everybody flocked to her, and she could be good. And I believe firmly that when individuals who have embraced the good side of the knowledge of good and evil, when God calls them, they will understand and they will embrace the call of the tree of life. There are fruits of the wrong tree: war, suffering, misery, sickness, animosity, horrible marriages, abuses of drugs, alcohol, diseases, headaches, bad marriages, famine, pollution, drought, wrong education, wrong religions, philosophy, governments and politics, wrong relationships, blah, 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 blah. And there is the fruit of God's Spirit, the fruit that comes from the tree of life. Galatians 5. Well, I wasn't going to go there, but yeah, might as well. Just to iterate and not a preamble, to overuse that word. But the evidence of God's Spirit in us, the evidence of having taken from the tree of life, the fruit of the Spirit, is love. The love that God has for all of mankind. The love that He has for everyone who opposes themselves. The love that transcends understanding, where Jesus Christ died for all men, including those who hate Him. Joy, the joy of salvation, the joy of tomorrow, understanding that there's an incredible tomorrow that's coming, regardless of what we find ourselves in today. Peace. And how I long, personally, I just long for peace. long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there simply is no law. And when people see that, they long for it, they are attracted to it, but at this point in time, living under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they do not like and will not practice the process. They like what they see, but they don't want to engage how it works. We have two trees. There is cause and effect, action and consequence. We have to ask ourselves, which tree do we sit under? At times I find myself getting the shade of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and I am wrong. And other times I find myself at peace, having God's love, joy, peace, long-suffering coming out because I find myself sitting under the tree and enjoying the benefits of the tree of life. We have two trees in our lives, and our life is based on making a choice between the two of them. And how we choose between the two tells us where we are in our life and what kind of salvation, what kind of joy we're having. Two trees. First time I've ever spoken on it.